This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC.
My bedside table broke after one day. Oh well, I guess it was just a one-night stand. I decided to sell my vacuum cleaner. It was just gathering dust. Where do royal cats get married? Westminster Tabby.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo.
From the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network studios, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio. Now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Tacey.
Hello.
Hello, Tacey, my partner in all things. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question, you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347. Oh, poohead. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your healthcare provider. Please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com for all your Amazon needs. Just click through. Totally fine. It makes a huge difference, so we really appreciate it. Check out simplyherbals.net. That's Dr. Scott's website. And the Rode 3 is coming out. The Rode 3 is out. The electronic robotic guitar tuner. But the Rode Coach, if you don't know how to play or if your chops suck, they've got a thing that you can attach to your guitar and it can tell what notes you're playing. And it's got an app on your phone and you can learn how to play guitar with this thing.
Oh, that's cool.
And it is very reasonably priced. So check out Rode, R-O-A-D-I-E dot drsteve.com or go to stuff.drsteve.com, scroll down and look. That Rode Coach is going to be the thing. But the Rhodey 3 is amazing. I have a Rhodey 2, 3, and a Rhodey bass. And I love my robotic musical assistants. And they'll just tune your instruments up for you. It's the coolest thing. Check out Tacy's show on patreon.com/weirdmedicine. That's one we do together. And we've got lots of different tiers. There's all kinds of old school weird medicine stuff, including a little Opie and Anthony, a little subreddit surfing, stuff like that. You know, I just try to throw everything in there. And we'll have a complete archive there at some point. And but it's patreon.com/weirdmedicine. And if you want me to say fluid to your father for Father's Day, I'll drop my price to $5 again. And just for fun, I love to do them. And go to cameo.com/weirdmedicine, and I'll create a customized video per your instructions for your father within reason. I'm not doing weird salutes and stuff like that. All right?
All right.
Yeah, so old Dr. Scott from simplyherbals.net, by the way, we'll give him a plug, simplyherbals.net. Has some adenovirus. Of course, I don't know how he knows that. We do viral respiratory panels now. You know, back in the day, people would come in, you got a virus. You know, oh, it's a viral infection. I remember my first wife, when about the 100th time, she said, well, what's wrong with the kids? And I said, it's a virus. And she went, that's your favorite word. So back in the day, we just had people come in with viruses. They had viral pneumonia and they would die. And we would say, well, they had atypical/viral pneumonia. And now, because of this godforsaken pandemic, we actually test for all these things. We have these viral panels now. It's like, why didn't we have that before? Well, nobody gave a shit. People were dying of coronavirus infections back then. We just didn't identify them.
Yeah.
Well, now we're all about identifying all these viruses. I think it's a good thing. So you go in and they do this viral panel. It'll tell you adenovirus, picornavirus, you know, rhinovirus. We had somebody the other day in there. In the hospital, I heard about somebody the other day in the hospital, and they said, oh, this patient has rhinovirus infection. It's like, okay, you mean they have a cold? Because that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That rhinovirus, rhino means nose virus. It's a cold. But everybody, you know, is freaking out, and it's like, come on. We got to remember our sort of basic virology with all this stuff. But I think it's cool. Now you can say, yeah, I had that adenovirus or whatever. And now we'll pick up some things when we say this person died of an atypical viral infection. We'll know what it is. And what I like about it, Tacy,
yes,
this is my favorite part of this, is that now that we're identifying them, maybe people will get some interest in fucking killing them. Because up until now, we've just all gone, well, nothing much we can do about viruses. You know, bacteria, we can kill them, but not much. Well, now that's all changing. And I'm in favor of the complete and utter eradication of all viruses that are pathogenic viruses in humans. You know, we can't do that with bacteria. We live in symbiosis with bacteria. They're on our skin. They help, you know, provide some defense against fungus and stuff like that on the skin. They're in our gut. We couldn't live without the bacteria and yeast in our gut. And, you know, we use bacteria to make yogurt. Interestingly, God, or, you know, the creator of the universe, has a sense of humor. Because, as I've said, the same bacteria that makes a healthy vaginal wall is the same bacteria that makes yogurt. So there you go. It's true. Lactobacillus is crazy. Also, there's lactobacillus and Saccharomyces yeast in Kombucha. Yay. Very good. Get an applause for that.
Oh, that's your new favorite word.
It is. I love my kombucha. I make it. And I'm making a new batch right now using a different process. So I'm very interested to see if it's going to work. But anyway, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
So we have these viral panels, and maybe Dr. Scott went and did one, and now he knows he has an adenovirus. I think he just made it up. But there you go. check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. So, Tacy, you got some topics for us
this
week?
I sure do.
All right, here we go.
It's Tacy's time of topics, a time for Tacy to discuss topics of the day.
All right, Tacy.
So if you need to go to the bathroom, now's the time.
Okay. Are you talking to me?
Or just anyone who's listening.
May I go to the bathroom?
If you need to, yes.
Thank you.
FDA-approved drug shows reduction in recurrence of breast cancer.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Novartis drug is called Kisqali, and it's for people with more advanced stages of breast
Kisqali.
Cancer. Yeah. Molto and I don't know if I'm saying that right or not.
Let me look it up.
Most breast cancer patients
how does that spell?
K-I-S-Q-A-L-I.
Yeah, Kisqali.
Most breast cancer patients are diagnosed in the early stages and are treated with chemo and endocrine therapy. But now new data shows that adding Kisqali after primary treatment will reduce the risk of cancer coming back. This is especially good news for those diagnosed in the earlier disease stage and those who are hormone receptor positive and HER2 negative,
right,
which is about 70% of the breast cancer population.
Yeah.
Women with this subtype can have recurrences 20 to 25 years after a diagnosis, and adding this drug will reduce the recurrence by 25%.
That's awesome. That's huge.
Yeah, that's from Good Morning America.
We do things. Okay, that fine medical journal.
Yeah.
Ribociclib is the drug, and it is a thing called an inhibitor of cyclin D1. And CDK4 and CDK6. And what it does is it's a kinase inhibitor. And they use it in combination with another thing called an aromatase inhibitor, which is like tamoxifen, femara, those kinds of things that block estrogen. Because if you have a estrogen receptor positive breast cancer, then estrogen is like throwing kerosene on a fire. So they use these aromatase inhibitors to sort of block that. And this stuff is being studied for other drug-resistant cancers as well. So it's pretty cool stuff. It's got a lot of drug interactions and things like that. But, you know, these cyclin-dependent kinases are these enzymes, and they promote cell division and multiplication in normal and cancer cells. So, but the cancer cells have abnormalities that increase the activity of this. So if you block that, then you should be able to prevent those cells from dividing. And that's the problem with cancer, is it divides, you know, in an unruly manner. Mm-hmm. So if you prevent them from dividing, the cells will eventually die, and you may be able to, prevent it from recurring. And so that's a big deal.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah,
okay, so the rest of them are pretty stupid. 6 common causes of inflammation that have nothing to do with your diet.
Okay.
Okay. These are pretty common sense, I thought, anyway. Having a chronic infection. Being stressed out. Just getting older. Tobacco use.
Well, inflammation is the problem with everything.
Yes. Dry skin and gum disease.
Okay, so yes, my dentist likes to just upcharge me on everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause she sees me coming from a mile away. And I did this thing where I had to spit into a tube, and they determined what bacteria were living in my mouth and my teeth.
You did that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And they have some bacteria that are like, well, if you have an abundance of these, it's more likely to promote heart disease and stuff like that. And one of mine was a treponeme. It was not, you know, the problem with that is Treponema pallidum is what causes syphilis, but there apparently are non-sexually transmitted, you know, non-pathogenic treponemes out there, and I had that in my mouth. That was disgusting. And a few other ones that were associated with inflammation and stuff. And yeah, dental inflammation promotes heart disease. It's crazy. You wouldn't think that it would. So if you haven't been to the dentist in a while, get your teeth cleaned. And the reason you want to floss is not so much to keep your teeth clean, but to make sure that your gums are healthy. Because periodontal disease is a source of inflammation in the face.
And you know what? It's a huge pain in the ass to go get that grafting done.
Yeah.
So just,
oh, yeah. Daisy did the grafting. We need to talk about
that.
Yeah,
it's not fun. Does not hurt at all, but you're...
How could it not hurt?
I never felt any pain the whole time. And
you got to talk about what they did. Well, let me tell you what they sold me at my dentist after I saw that I had treponema in my mouth.
Oh, no, Steve.
Is they have some sort of antioxidant that I have to put on my tongue and then swish it around, and then I have to take an oral probiotic. And the oral probiotic is supposed to replace the bad bacteria in my mouth.
How much was this?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. And then, but I did, I will tell you this, though. I did go to the same periodontist that you did, and he looked at my gum and said, nah, get the fuck out of here. You don't need anything.
Oh.
So there you go. So maybe there is something to it. But go ahead. So you had receding gums.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so tell everybody what the procedure
was.
I
don't know if I brushed my teeth too hard. He said...
Well, you puke every time you brush your teeth,
yeah,
so that might be something.
They just take skin out of the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
And graft it onto the place that's receding.
So they got to open your mouth pretty wide, I guess.
Yeah.
And then go in there and just slice out a piece of...
Yes. And then they...
Of the soft palate? I mean, palate or soft palate, whatever. Oh, yeah. Hell. No, I don't like that.
And then they graft it on to your gums.
They sew it back up?
And they sew it... Yeah, I think so.
Did you have stitches on the roof of your mouth?
I can't remember, but I think so.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember, Steve.
And then somehow
go ahead. Sew it into, sew
The graft
onto your existing gum, and then they cover it with some stuff that protects it,
yeah.
But you still, like, you don't eat on that side of your mouth for,
right,
like, forever, and you can't brush your teeth in that spot for forever, and...
I can't believe that the blood supply just takes it, just goes, okay, well, I'm just living here now.
Yeah. Well, it does.
Yeah. That's
so,
amazing.
Anyway, I've had it done several times. I think I just must have bad gum genes or whatever.
What the guy told me is you think that a stiff, bristled brush would get your teeth cleaner, and he said, it's stupid. Get a soft brush, and it really does better. And then for people that don't like to floss, and particularly if you get older, if your gums start to recede, you start getting food stuck between your teeth. It sucks. And getting a water flosser, it's the greatest thing in the world. And matter of fact, I found an inexpensive one, and I bought it, and it's amazing. And I'll stick it on drsteve.com, or no, stuff.drsteve.com. I'll just put it on there so people can look at it. But I highly, highly recommend that. And now when I go to the dentist, they're not picking shit out of my teeth before they clean them. It's so embarrassing. You know, I brushed my teeth, I flossed, all this stuff, and there's still crap stuck in there.
Oh.
The water flosser gets all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, topic number three.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
Oh.
Stress causing inflammation.
Yes.
So everything is related to inflammation, which is the immune system operating incorrectly. So cancer, now it looks like heart disease, strokes, and these things are also the immune system is at least an accomplice. And then it boils down to stress.
I think having dry skin being one is kind of interesting.
That's a weird one.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I guess being stressed out is a no-brainer.
Dry skin creates less of a barrier. This is would be my hypothesis. Less of a barrier to the outside world. And when the body gets in contact with the outside world, the immune system usually kicks in. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So topic number three.
All right.
U.S. life expectancy problem is bigger than we thought. This
Uh-oh.
Comes from USA Today.
Okay.
We've had the largest drop since World War II during COVID.
Good. Oh, no, not during COVID. No, that's
more than 50 countries have surpassed the U.S. since 1930s, and a handful of states are responsible. Life expectancy has dropped to 76.1 years, the lowest since 1996.
Ooh, that's good for you. I have to croak by 76 for you to get my life insurance.
That's not good for me, Steve.
No, that's good.
Northeastern and Western states experienced the fastest growth, while South, Central, and Midwestern states were the slowest.
What do you mean? The fast is which one's bad?
Slowest. Oh. The one where the South is in, of course.
Well, wait. Why? The slowest growth in...
Yeah.
So this is a decrease in the rate of increase.
Yes.
The life expectancy is still going up, just not as fast as it was?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's just what it said.
Okay.
Hawaii and New York ranked as high as some of the healthiest states in the world.
Hmm.
So Hawaii and New York doing good, but...
Hawaii, I believe.
South, Central,
New York,
and Midwestern states
by.
Are not, they're slowing everybody down.
So what, did
dragging
you,
them down.
Did you write down the difference between the two?
No, they did not. It was not included.
Okay, because I'd be interested if it's a difference in a month or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But that's a USA Today article if you'd like to look it up.
Okay. Well, we can look at Hawaii has a life expectancy of 82 years.
Mm.
California, 81. New York, 81. Uh-oh. Now, Florida's 80, so it's in there. Vermont, only 79. Now, let's go down to the... Oh, okay. Yeah. Tennessee, 76. That's all the... biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
I mean, for people outside the South that don't know what biscuits and gravy is, it's awesome. But if you think about it, a biscuit is flour, fat, and milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And leavening. And then gravy is flour, fat, and milk.
And sausage.
And then, right, sausage. So you're taking an uncooked biscuit that has sausage in it and pouring it over a cooked biscuit, and you're eating that every day for breakfast, your life expectancy, yes.
Yeah.
76. Now, who's below us, though? Oklahoma? Oh, no. They're tied. Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kentucky, West Virginia, the home of Richard Ojeda, is at the rock bottom at 74.8. And American Samoa is 74.8 as well, so... Interesting.
Yeah.
That's not too surprising. I'm surprised that New Hampshire and Vermont are as low as they are.
Number four.
Yes.
Weird medical facts.
Ooh.
This is from penguin.co.uk.
Okay. What is that?
I don't know. Eyes blink 20 times a minute. Your okay. ears never stop growing.
Except Jim Norton's. He blinks like 60 times a minute, right?
Oh, yeah. Earwax is a type of sweat.
Okay.
You produce 40,000 liters of spit in your lifetime.
Nice.
Your nose makes a cupful of nasal mucus every day.
And what's weird about that is you swallow it every day, right? I mean, it doesn't, but if you blew it out onto a spoon out of your nose and then... Try to put that in your mouth.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No, it's disgusting.
But all day long, you're swallowing that.
Swallowing snot.
If you swallow it backwards, it's fine. If you swallow it forwards, it's that's
disgusting.
Bad.
Yeah. And you're gross.
The cat is getting up on the console. Anyway. I'm going to turn her mic on and see if she wants to say anything.
You are about 1 centimeter taller in the AM than the PM. And walking 12 hours a day, it would take the average person 690 days to walk around the world.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. The entire...
You'd have to be able to walk on water to do that, so that would be stupid.
It would be stupid.
I'm wondering, how long would it take to walk across the United States, then?
Well, it didn't say.
Well, I'm going to look it up while you're doing that.
Okay. The entire surface of your skin is replaced every month, so you have about 1,000 different skins in your life.
Yes. So that's the old the ship of Theseus paradox, which really isn't a paradox, but it is sort of a logical conundrum. So the ship of Theseus is you build a ship out of wood, and then every couple of months you replace a board here and there, mm-hmm. and then you end up replacing all the boards, but the ship is still there. Is it the same ship, or is it something different? It's been in service the whole time, never went out of service. All the, you know, people are still on it, but there isn't a single board left over.
Yeah.
So our skin is like an ancient Greek paradox, the ship of Theseus. Yeah. So the skin of Theseus.
Okay.
That'll be the new thing.
By the way,
it takes 6 months to walk across the United States if you're well prepared.
Oh, okay. You have 2.5 million sweat pores.
Okay.
Every minute you
every
shed.
Every one of them stinks.
Yeah. Every minute you shed 30,000 dead skin cells.
Good.
Every minute.
Get the fuck off of me.
If you spend about a year on the toilet your whole life.
I'm sure I'm way more than that.
Yeah, I think you are. You fart enough in one day to fill a party balloon.
That's weird.
And you pee enough every month to fill a bathtub.
Okay.
And so that is topic number four.
That's a delightful topic.
And I have just one other just real quick one.
Okay.
Mosquito bites are, it's that season, they're coming. And if you get bit by them and you get these big whelps, it's like nothing really works. But this says to take an oral antihistamine before anticipating mosquito bites.
Well, that makes sense.
But yeah, it does. But it also talks about how it's overlooked as a treatment.
Sure.
Because people don't think about it. And if that doesn't work...
They're putting topical antihistamines on. And actually, if you put topical Benadryl, which is diphenhydramine, on your skin, you can actually make it worse because that is a molecule that you can become allergic to. And I've seen people that just keep putting it on, putting more and more and more, and their skin reaction gets worse and worse and worse. And they're actually... Now they're making their immune system is mounting a response against the Benadryl.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Take it by mouth. Don't put it on your skin.
Yeah. And it says if that doesn't work, topical steroids can help.
Yeah. And prevention is the key because there are mosquito-borne diseases, even in the United States. So, you know, using DEET is, if you're in a mosquito-prone area, is the number one way to keep from getting it. And then if you're going to be in a swampy area, making sure that you're pants are inside your socks, and you're wearing, you know, proper protection against mosquitoes.
Keep that Claritin and Allegra on board.
There you go. That it?
And that's from the Insider. Yes.
All right. Very good.
It's Tacy's time of topics.
There you go. Very good. I got to work on your intro and outro. I'm just editing it on the fly, and that kind of sucks. All right. Well, do you want to answer some questions?
I do. Okay. Yes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We go. Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right. Thank you, Roddy B. That is absolutely true. Here's one just straight off the voicemail.
Hello, Dr. Steve and all the other doctors, Dr. Who and Stacy, Tacy, Tacy. This is the guy who's laughing. This is the Rowan County redneck.
Hey, man.
I'm laughing at, I'll do you, you. Do me, but that's not the reason I called.
Okay.
The reason I called was magnesium.
Yes.
I've added it and it helps, but I'm having these.
Okay. When you say it helps, you got to be specific. Does it help multiply three-digit numbers together in your head? Or does it help with leg cramps or whatever? So that's the first thing. When someone asks me, well, does vitamin D work? And it's like, well, what for what?
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Do you want to prevent cancer? Well, the data is not positive there. You want to prevent rickets? 100%. Vitamin D, hell yeah, I'm all in favor of it. All right. Uh-oh. Wrong mouse. Sorry.
Challenging stools where I'm going to pop a vein in my forehead.
Oh.
Is that an effect of magnesium? Because, you know, it was like, hey, I'm pretty proud of that today. And then weeks later, I'm like, holy, you know, I've got to get psyched up, go to the gym. So, well, no, I don't know. But what's going on with magnesium? Does it create a more solid defecation?
No, really.
That's a verb. Thank you.
Yes, bye. It is. No. And actually, sir, the way you used it was a noun because you were creating something.
But, oh, for sorry. Fuck's sake.
Magnesium normally will increase the amount of water in your intestines, leading to laxation or, you know, to softer stools. As a matter of fact, many of the magnesium supplements that are out there are sold as as laxatives. So it depends on if you're using magnesium sulfate and your stools are too hard, try just switching to magnesium oxide. Magnesium oxide is a magnesium supplement and it is known to cause looser stools. That one is used as a laxative by some people. So now magnesium itself is a pretty interesting supplement. It's decent for nocturnal leg cramps. There is some data on using magnesium supplements to prevent or reduce symptoms of migraine headache. They are very short-term, small studies, but there is some data. Magnesium is involved in bone formation, and it affects the concentrations of parathyroid hormone, which modulates calcium. And the active form of vitamin D.
So there may be some benefit in magnesium supplementation when it comes to bone formation. They've done prospective cohort studies in patients with type 2 diabetes. And there was a meta-analysis, which, if you remember, Tase, that's where they take a bunch of studies and mush the data together and try to come up with statistics from that. It included 286,000 patients, and they found a 100 milligram a day increase in total magnesium intake decreased the risk of diabetes by a statistically significant 15%. That was to prevent diabetes. And then another meta-analysis of 8 prospective cohort studies. So that's where they were following them over time. Over 18 years, found a significant inverse association between magnesium intake and the risk of type 2 diabetes. In other words, the higher the magnesium in their diet, the lower the diabetes risk. So that's pretty interesting. Cardiovascular disease, magnesium, very important for the heart and may decrease blood pressure for a small amount. But higher magnesium intakes may, and that might, when I say may, it's just because there's studies out there that just aren't perfect studies. But it might reduce the risk of stroke. They did a meta-analysis of 7 trials with 241,000 people, and an additional 100 milligram a day in the diet was associated with 8% decreased risk of stroke. Now, I take, full disclosure, I take a magnesium supplement mostly for my stupid leg cramps.
Sounds like everybody should.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I always go, well, hell, they ought to put it in the water. Now, you can take too much. You can get a hypermagnesemia, which is when you get way too much magnesium in your body. I could only find 2 cases of people who actually died from that. But, of course, it's tragic. But, you know, out of a country of 350 million people, to have 2 cases in the known history is not too bad.
So what is magnesium found in if you're not taking a supplement?
Sure. Well, pumpkin seeds.
Okay.
Chia seeds, almonds, spinach, cashews, peanuts, shredded wheat, soy milk, beans, edamame, peanut butter, baked potatoes, brown rice, and yogurt, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm getting none.
Well, the number one was roasted pumpkin seeds. So our kid, at least once a year, has an infusion of magnesium because he loves roasted pumpkin seeds.
He does.
Because we always clean those things out of the pumpkin and roast them. But then dry roasted almonds. So there's 80 milligrams per serving of magnesium in that'd be 1 ounce of almonds and 156 in 1 ounce of pumpkin seeds. So a lot of nuts, the number one vegetable would be spinach. So, and if you don't like spinach, I don't know what to tell you. Spinach is awesome. All right.
Spinach is good.
Yeah. And you can make smoothies out of it. You'll never taste it. That's what we did with our kid when he wasn't eating vegetables, is I'd make him smoothies and I'd throw all kinds of fruit in there and a handful of spinach, and he never, never knew that I was doing that. All right. Anything else on that
nope.
one?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Let's do this one.
Yeah, Dr. Steve. This is Frank from Indiana.
Hey, Frank.
I had a question about, I've called you before about a sore throat, persistent sore throat, that myself and my family have been having ever since the COVID thing started. We still get them quite frequently, most everybody in the house. And I read a thing online where it said, gargle with a split version of hydrogen peroxide. Hmm. My question for you is this safe?
Oh.
Thanks, buddy. Glad you're feeling better.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, gargling is listen, pure hydrogen peroxide is unbelievably toxic, but that's not what they sell in the store. The little brown bottle is 3%, and they want you to dilute it down to 1% by adding 2 parts water to 1 part peroxide. And dentists will recommend this for mild oral inflammation and stuff like that. They think that it promotes healing, prevention of canker sores. I don't know that the data is there. And it may help to reduce gum inflammation, because the reason hydrogen peroxide works is it's just H2O2, right? So water is H2O. Mm-hmm. And that's a very stable molecule. H2O2 has an extra oxygen. It's not stable. And so what that extra oxygen wants to get off of that that molecule and bond to something else. And when it does that, it's very toxic to bacteria and stuff like that. So it can decrease the bacterial load, and then by extension, decrease the inflammation.
Wonder why they keep having sore throats.
Yeah, that's a thing. They may be passing it around. Whenever I had a family that had true strep, that they, you know, the kid would get it, then the mom would get it, then the dad, and then the other kid, and then round and round and round, they never seemed to be rid of it. I always told them to test the dog, because a lot of times the dog is a carrier of group A strep, and if you treat the dog, all of that stuff goes away. Because, you know, the dogs lick you on the mouth.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So anyway, now there are some risks. Don't swallow it. It definitely irritates the tissues in your throat, and it can, you know, if you swallow undiluted hydrogen peroxide, it can cause all kinds of problems in the stomach. So don't do that. If you're going to gargle with it, it's got to be take the 3% down to 1%, and then gargle and spit it out. Now, if you're wondering, could peroxide be safe? Well, I mean, they do. That's the main ingredient in teeth whitening gels, is hydrogen peroxide. And so, you know, those gels, you put it in the little mold, and then you stick it in your teeth and hold it there for 15 minutes. And that's how most of the dentists are doing teeth whitening now, if they're not doing veneers. But they'll try to sell you their own system. That one I didn't fall for with her. All right. Good question.
Yeah.
All right. Oop. Okay, not sure what's going on there. Oh, there we go.
All right, a quick update. My wife came home late Thursday night after I'd already put all the kids to bed. They did not see her that night.
Wait. Okay, here we go. There's a preamble to this. Let's do this one.
Hey, Tacy, Dr. Scott, Dr. Steve.
Hello.
So my youngest son is autistic. Not what this call is about. But we've thankfully not had to deal with the frequent insomnia issues that kids with autism often exhibit. He's pretty good at sleeping through the night, going to bed on time, all that.
Good.
But he does wake up bloody early in the morning. Typically 5:15, 5:30, he's up and in our bed and watching his iPad too loud. My wife just went away on a business trip, left her kids for the first time in 13 years since we started having
them. Wow.
And everything's been fine. The only thing I've noticed is now my son sleeps until like 7. I have to wake him up in the morning, which has never happened in 8 years of his life. So my hypothesis is she's giving off some kind of pheromone that he's ultra sensitive to and wakes him up in the morning. Is this possible, or is it just because his routine is different?
Or he likes mom better than you, and when you're, but let's listen to part two.
I mean, they all knew she was coming home, but...
Okay, let's run that.
Quick update. My wife came home late Thursday night after I'd already put all the kids to bed. They did not see her that night, they all knew she was coming home. But sure enough, as my hypothesis would predict, he was up before the sun rose and in our bed snuggling his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Some other potential evidence, when she goes into the school... not to see his classroom, but to, you know, see one of the other classrooms that one of my many kids occupies in the school. He almost always finds his way out of his classroom and finds her.
That's
not knowing
crazy.
She's at the school, but his, you know, one-on-one paraprofessional will say, like, yeah, he really pushed to get out of the classroom, and he came, and sure enough, he found you in the hallway or found you in the next room. So I'm pretty sure he's just hyper-tuned to the scent of his mother.
I wonder if it's scent, though. I remember when we had Alpo, and he was downstairs. There was a big white, it's a long story how we got the dog. It doesn't matter. But he was staying with us, and he was a big white lab. And he couldn't make it up the stairs because he was so old. And I remember waking up, and our bedroom was on the other side of the house. I woke up, and I could tell he was breathing different. And it wasn't really a conscious thing. I just knew that his breathing was different. I ran downstairs, and that was when, you know, he was breathing differently. And, you know, soon after that, he passed away. But I wonder if it's that he has hearing, or there's a circuit in his brain that is very attuned to your wife in the same sort of way when you're, you know, the cocktail party effect. You know about that, Taste?
No. Mm-mm.
So a cocktail party, you hear all these people, blah, 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 blah. You can't hear anything. It's just cacophony, right? And then someone says your name and you go and you zoom in on it. You know, it's like, oh, I heard my name over there. You didn't hear anything else. You just heard a bunch of noise coming out of these people's mouths, but they said your name and you focused in on it. And I wonder if this kid has got this sort of the same thing, because and it's, you know, a lot of kids with autistic spectrum disorder have trouble bonding with people. So he's really, really bonded with your wife. And I think it's, I don't know if it's scent, maybe it is. You know, it could be perfume or just some scent, pheromones. We have yet to really define human pheromones, but could be that. I think it's probably more a hearing thing. That'd be my guess. But
it's crazy.
It's a valid hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
The way to God, how would you even test for that? You'd have to cover her in some plastic so she couldn't emit any pheromones, and then see if he still detects her. If he does, then it can't be that. That'd be a tough one. Oh, well, I'm not investing millions on that study, but it would be very interesting to do.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
Hey.
I have a quick question about Mounjaro.
Okay.
Oh.
My sister was prescribed that. She does not have type 2 diabetes, but she has lost a crap ton of weight.
Yeah.
And my wife is kind of interested as well. And she was also, her doctor offered her Ozempic as well.
Yeah.
So I just your thoughts on those two?
Sure.
Yeah. Not super overweight, but, you know, a good 30 pounds would be great to drop real fast.
Yeah.
But have we reached the magic pill / injection that we just drop weight? Anyway, love you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. You too.
Love the show. Bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, so this is from the New England Journal of Medicine. They did a phase 3 double-blind randomized controlled trial, which is the good kind, right? We'll give them applause for that, because that's the proper type of trial for something like this, where it's randomized. Neither the patient nor the investigator knows what medicine they're getting, and then you go off to the races. So they had 2,500 adults with a body mass index of 30 or more, or they had 27 or more and at least one weight-related complication, not including diabetes. So anyway, so they got once-weekly subcutaneous tirzepatide, which is sold as Mounjaro, 5, 10, or 15, or they got placebo, and this went on for 72 weeks. So that's more than a year, including a 20-week dose escalation period. So they went from
anyway, over 20 weeks, they went up on the dose. And so the co-primary endpoints were percentage change in weight from baseline and weight reduction of 5% or more. So either one of those they would they were looking for. Now, so what their results were in these patients with obesity, 5, 10, and 15 milligrams of Mounjaro once weekly provided substantial and sustained reductions in body weight. And those numbers were pretty impressive. And, you know, there was a reduction of body weight of 20% or more in the group that was taking 10 and 15 milligrams. So if you weighed 200 pounds, that'd be 40 pounds, right?
Yeah.
And that the placebo group did lose weight, but it was 3%, not 33, 3% in the placebo group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. You always, you know, the placebo has some power.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there you go. It's not bullshit. There's, you know, are they selling tirzepatide as Wegovy or is, which one is Wegovy?
Okay, Wegovy is,
that is semaglutide. So that was, yes. Semaglutide was Ozempic, is that
yes.
right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay. And it's the same stuff, it's just got a different yeah. name with different doses. And, Mounjaro is... You know, I've taken both. I tolerate Mounjaro a lot better than
okay,
semaglutide.
And you know, the thing is that it's right now not indicated
nope.
for weight loss yet. So they're limiting its use in a lot of places. You can still get it compounded. So you go to a med spa, you can get tirzepatide, which is the active ingredient in Mounjaro, but it, you know, you're going to be paying cash for it. Your insurance won't pay for it because it's not indicated for that. And the people who have diabetes who actually need the drug are having trouble getting it because all the fatzos out there that are soaking up the supply, mm-hmm. not only of gravy but of Mounjaro. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but it's the real deal.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, the FDA has warned consumers not to use off-brand versions. In other words, compounded, you know, Ozempic slash Wegovy, because they are afraid some, criminal, unscrupulous people who are selling the stuff are not selling the actual drug. So you got to know who you're getting it from. All right. That's all. Anything else?
No.
All right. Then how about this one?
Oop. Dr. Steve and Dr. Scott and Casey and guest, if there's one. I am the aspiring Dr. Fate.
Yay.
That is my last name, not spelled that way. And I am a med school wannabe, just finishing up my last four classes, so crawling my way through chemistry to my God. And I just wanted to ask you about zinc. So I am, you know, doing a little bit of research on my own about zinc, and my family has a weird condition that we have called hidradenitis suppurativa.
Okay. You'll learn to pronounce that one in medical school. It's hidradenitis suppurativa. And it's a disorder of sweat glands, basically, where they become enlarged and red and painful and stuff. And it's very often has a severe impact on patients' quality of life. So, and there's not a lot of great treatments for it.
I wanted to see what your guys's thoughts were on zinc and its impact in the body, and as far as blemishes, as far as dry skin, you know, other different things. Are there any, you know, chronic conditions that can be in the body or occur because of zinc deficiency? And obviously I know that, you know, we can get into like magnesium and all of these essential nutrients with this conversation, but I think it's super interesting, and I find that people are just not as aware as they should be. I would love to hear you talk more about that. And I'm a Spotify listener, so. Okay. All right, you guys. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
So, and good luck with medical school. Let us know if you get in, or let us know when you get in. And then we've had several other people that have sort of been weird medicine adjacent that have gone all the way through medical school. Our friend Ahmed Zarban Kaifaluk it was also one that, you know, kind of we watched him go through medical school and now residency, and he's going to be senior resident very soon. That's very exciting. So, yeah, keep us in the loop. So, there was a pilot study that I found on hidradenitis suppurativa and zinc. And what they did was they took 22 patients, and they had all been prescribed antibiotics, isotretinoin, which is vitamin A analog, surgery, anti-androgens, in other words, medications to block testosterone. One of those might be finasteride or Proscar. But none of those worked on those people. They were then treated with 90 milligrams of zinc gluconate per day. And they observed clinical response in all patients. 8 of them had complete remissions, 14 partial remissions. And that's pretty amazing, actually. So, you know, that was a pilot study. I haven't seen any further big-time studies on this in hidradenitis suppurativa, but it looks very interesting from a pilot study standpoint. What you got to do is you got to go do the big study now, double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized, multi-center, get lots of data, and then let us know. In the meantime, you can buy zinc supplements over the counter at GNC or at CVS or, you know, Walgreens. Could I name other stores while I'm at it? But lots of Target. Different places around. Yes, thank you. Walmart. Now, zinc deficiency. She asked about that. If you are truly zinc deficient, your skin will look like you have eczema. It'll be flaky, red, scaly, cracks, even glazed appearance on the skin. But you'll find it around the mouth and the hands. And it doesn't get better with moisturizers. You can get hair loss, diarrhea, feel irritable, loss of appetite, impotence. Oh, well, maybe I need to take zinc, Taste. eye problems, wounds that take a long time to heal, and then lack of taste and smell. And a lot of, there was a renewed interest in zinc because of COVID. You know, there were people that were really pushing zinc as a treatment for COVID in the beginning, zinc and azithromycin. And the reason for that is that there's those homeopathic studies that show that zinc decreases cold symptoms at least by about a third. So not bad. Well, anyway, thanks, Tacy, for being here. I wish Dr. Scott had been here, but it was enjoyable having you here. Thanks to everyone who's made this show happen over the years. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 8 p.m., no, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m., I don't know. Listen to it on demand. That's the way to listen to it, because other times are at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job easy. Go to our website, drsteve.com, for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody.